Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's 1:10 p.m. It's windy as hell in Saskatchewan. I'm sitting in a parking lot in the van right now with Layla. She's having a little nap, and I'm just waiting for my buddy Ryan to get freed up. We're going to meet up right away here, so I figured I would just do a podcast. This podcast today is going to be on two subjects. One is the attempted break-in from that creep that approached my van at 3:30 a.m. That happened a few days ago. And two is just kind of my feelings and emotions and thoughts on everything that's been going on with the pandemic, with quarantine, with our leadership, with, you know, some of the police brutality and just all the, you know, the gun laws. Just a few things that have been happening that have kind of triggered me and got me emotional. And I'm going to get into that stuff. So first, I'll start with the creepo, the guy that approached my van. So for those of you that have been just tuning in for the first time, you know, I live in a van, been doing it for 2 years. And within that 2 years, I've had about, I'd say 15, I'm kind of losing track now, probably about 15, give or take, attempted break-ins. And every single time, except for this last time, it's been whatever. I wake up and maybe my door's open, they got their hand reaching in and they're just trying to steal something. So the second either myself or Layla, my dog, makes a noise, they would just run away. You know, they're not trying to cause me harm. They're just trying to steal shit. They're just deadbeats. So usually I just scare the shit out of them. They run away. You know, I go back to bed. But this last time was different. This one was a little bit more intense, and I got pretty angry. So, you know, the last two times, Layla was actually sleeping. She didn't even wake up. You know, the guy opened the door, he got in the van, I woke up and yelled, the guy ran away, and then Layla kind of snapped out of it, or woke up and was like, ugh, you know, all flustered, like, shit, I think I failed. I wasn't a good guard dog, I'm sorry, Dad. But this time, she woke up, and usually when Layla growls in the middle of the night, it's for a reason. You know, people that know Layla know that she barks a lot. She's a noisy dog during the day, but at nighttime, she's honestly really good. You know, she rarely will, sorry, someone's driving by and looking at me like a zoo animal. Get out of here. Yeah, keep driving. You know, Layla, she's pretty good at nighttime. Like, she doesn't make noises unless she has to. So when I woke up with her growling, it was kind of like a subtle growl. And I knew something was outside the van. So I take the Reflectix down and I look out the window. And sure enough, there's this guy kind of just lurking right outside the van. And Layla starts barking at this point because he's right by the van. And, you know, Layla's freaking out. And I see the guy doesn't even flinch. So right then it kind of tells me he's probably on something. And he just looked like the type of guy that would do meth or any kind of those hard drugs. Shady looking dude. Piece of shit. So he's outside the van. And all of a sudden I hear him say, excuse me, I just want to talk. I just want to talk. And the creepy thing about this was that it was like he knew I was in the van. I don't know if he had circled the area before and saw that I was there or what it was, but the other people were just trying to break in. They just thought nobody was in the van. It was maybe a work van or something. This guy was like, this was different. So anyway, he starts saying, excuse me, I want to talk. I just want to talk. I said, hell no, it's 3:30 a.m. Get the fuck away from the van. I started out just kind of saying like literally just like that. I was just like, man, you got to get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you doing? You can't be coming here, man. Like, no, you're stressing me out. And the guy, he didn't leave the first warning. So then I got violent. Then I got angry. And I just said, look, man, you're stressing my dog out. You're stressing me out. If you don't leave, I'm going to bash your head in. And I said a couple other really mean things that I don't need to mention. And then he left after that. I really had to threaten him with violence. I was dead serious. Like, I had a weapon in my hand. And luckily, I was calm enough because a lot of people said, you should have ran out there and beat the shit out of him. But for those of you that... So, you know, it's kind of funny how this has been working. For those of you that have been following my social media, know that we've had foxes in the area. And they keep messing with me and Layla. They're always barking at us and following us. And they're smart little buggers. And the one time I had my side doors open, I'm chilling on the bed. Layla's in the van. She's on her 20-foot leash though. And a fox came right by the door And it was almost like the fox tried to lure Layla out, because Layla darted out, but she got yanked by the leash because, you know, obviously she's attached to the van. And I come outside, and then I look at the fox that lured her away and was running. And then I look over, and there was another fox waiting for Layla to start chasing that fox. And I was like, what, are they going to tire her out and then attack her? Because there's no way they're going to take her, like, with when she's got, you know, fresh energy. But then I started thinking, when this guy was approaching my van, the same thing. I was like, okay, what if he's luring me? What if he knew I was here and they wanted to rob me? They wanted to steal Layla? They whatever, just, you know, whatever their intentions were. I thought, maybe shit, like, these guys might have weapons. This one guy might have a knife on him. There might be two guys waiting behind my van to ambush me. If I open that door, I might be in trouble. So, you know, I remember reading, what was it? The Art of War. And it talks about that. It said, you know, some of the best generals, it wasn't that they were the best in the actual fight itself, but they were the best at knowing when to fight. And they were always about, like, taking the high ground. Like, if you have the best position, why leave? Make them more vulnerable. And so I was just thinking, like, I'm chilling. I'm in a van. I'm in an enclosed area. My dog is safe right now. I have a weapon in my hand. That guy's outside. He's out in the open. So I was like, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to get stabbed. I don't want to get jumped. So I kept it nice and chill. And luckily he eventually left, but it did get me emotional. And for the past few nights, it's been on my mind for sure, especially because this guy didn't leave for the, you know, after the first time, and he didn't get scared by Layla. And it seemed like he really knew I was in the van. So, you know, it's definitely not a fun thing to wake up to at 3:30 AM. Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating. You know, I think that when you're in your own home, whether it be a van, a house, an apartment, a condo, a loft, whatever, that is your safe haven. You should feel 100% safe in that home. And if somebody violates that, especially an adult, I do not care what happens to them. You know, I really don't. Get out of here permanently, forever. Like, I don't care. Yeah, sure. Second chances, blah, blah, blah. Second chances are for teenagers. When you're an adult, there's billions of us. We don't need you. Okay? Don't need you. So I don't know. There's it's really frustrating, you know. You don't want to feel violated and, like, unsafe in your own home. And you know, I definitely felt that. Like, the other break-ins, it was whatever. I didn't feel violated because I'm like, look, these guys are just trying to break in and steal shit. They're not trying to cause me harm. But this guy was persistent, and he didn't want to leave, and Layla wasn't even a threat to him because he was probably on something maybe. So yeah, that was that. But anyway, I'm going to jump into the next topic now. So, you know, I don't even know where to start with this, to be honest. And again, this is kind of a verbal diary. I don't even have a thought process, but I've been feeling a lot of mixed emotions, as I'm sure a lot of people are. You know, confusion, frustration, anger, and but also, you know, I have my moments of playfulness. Like, you know, I'm sure if you've been following me on social media, I've been posting a lot of dances, and I'm, you know, I'm always just kind of being a goofball and stuff. And I told myself, when this pandemic happened and I started seeing all these people posting a lot of, like, scary articles and stuff, I just kind of told myself that I was going to be a bit of a light. Not that I'm, you know, I'm not saying that in the sense, like, I'm going to be up here while you guys are down here. I'm not saying that. I just, that's how I cope with a lot of darkness, is I bring humor and I try to be playful. And, but there's another part of that, like, where sometimes I'm genuinely angry. You know, I see our leaders, in air quotes, and some of the decisions that they've made, and some of our scientists and doctors who are on opposing sides debating whether or not this virus is serious, whether or not the shutdown was legit. And it leaves the masses in confusion. And it's just frustrating for me to see, like, the government handle things in certain ways, and in these, like, you know, leaders and all of our experts, again, in air quotes. And I say in air quotes because it just like, it is so hard to believe what you see online these days. Like you see the death tolls, but then you hear of doctors getting incentives to say that, look, like I saw this one family, they had a relative that died of Alzheimer's. The guy had Alzheimer's for like 10 years, finally died. On the paper, it says he died of coronavirus. So I don't know if that's true or not, but if it's true, everything gets wiped out. I don't care what data, what article, if our leaders are being incentivized to lie about how people are dying and the numbers get skewed, well, now the public, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, it just is what it is, kind of the dumb public, like that's me included, I don't understand how viruses work. I don't understand all the stats and all the complications of this. But when the public can't look to proper leadership, we get confused, and then it causes this weird like civil war. And not like war, but like, damn, online is a vicious place. Like, you know, especially with like this new gun ban, then you see people bickering about the gun ban, then you see bickering about this and that, and like whether or not we should be quarantined and whether you should wear a mask. And it's just the people are fighting the people when the government is just making massive political moves and the rich get richer. Which, whatever, that always happens. But like, I just saw this article. It was like, you know, the 12 richest billionaires just made another $230 billion combined during this pandemic. And I think during these times, if you don't think major political moves are being are happening, I think you're a little bit naive. And I think you put a lot more trust in the government than I do. I'm not saying government is bad. I'm just saying power and money are a powerful thing, and if you look at history, it's very tough to trust leaders in power. So I don't know, I feel confused and frustrated, and I really just wish people would have a little bit more empathy in the way that we word things. Like, I've seen a lot of blanket statements, even like Trump supporters, like if you support Trump, you're a evil piece of shit. And that's just not the case. Do I like Trump? I don't even know. I don't follow it enough, but I also know not to blanket statement something. I don't think that's the best way about it either. But also, maybe I'm being too nice. Maybe I'm not being a responsible citizen by investigating this more and speaking my opinion. But the way I see it is all this bickering and you know, people sharing these articles and, you know, expressing their opinions. I don't always see any change happen from it. I just see people versus people, and then the higher ups and the elite continue doing what they're doing. And it just, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm just kind of lost for words. It's been frustrating to say the least. Yeah. And then, you know, with this, oh man, this messed up my morning, but I watched that video of the black man getting, like, the cop had his knee on his neck. I don't know the guy's name. You know, and he died. And I saw that the police officer got fired. I don't know what else happened to him, but getting fired for killing someone, an innocent person like that, is not enough. You know, he can go exactly where people that violate your homes go, you know, vanish. Like, why are we, I don't know, it's confusing. Like, what are we doing? Why are we giving people so many second chances? Some people are bad people. Can't fix them. And even if you could, might take too long, too many resources. I don't want to send them to jail either. That's tax money. I'd rather fix potholes. Like, I have no interest in helping some of these people. None. I want people to thrive and do the best, but like, that is a mistake you can't come back from. And, yeah, it's just devastating. And then the gun ban, you know. I mean, again, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. And my opinion, again, is a very uneducated opinion. These are just, you know, things that I've just kind of observed from afar, I guess. You know, I don't post too much on social media. But again, this podcast is just more of a verbal diary. So with the gun ban, I'll just say I don't agree with it at all. I have very close friends and family members that have plenty of guns. They're the most law-abiding, loving people I know. And the shootings that have happened in the past, you know, school shootings, mass shootings of any kind, I think in the 90 percentile, in the high 90s, it has been illegally purchased guns or stolen guns. It is not from law-abiding citizens that went through the background check to get those guns. So when you, when Trudeau signed that paper and in one stroke of a pen made like hundreds of thousands of Canadians criminals, I don't think that is the right thing to do. And I think he just put a lot more power into the criminals' hands. And I think police, most police would agree with that. In fact, I actually have quite a few police officers that I was talking to just through social media, and they were like, this is insane. This is going to cause some serious friction between the people and the police. And that's the last thing you want. You know, I think you want, if I was a cop, I would want people to look at me like they look at firefighters. Like, oh, thank God the firefighters are here. But instead, it's going to cause more friction. And I want us to get away from this friction amongst each other. But again, maybe that's my hippie brain talking. I don't even know if that's possible. But, you know, and again, with the gun ban, I just was thinking, like, I don't think it's the guns. Like, if you don't think Bertha will do the same kind of damage as an M16, you're mistaken. Bertha on a full tank of gas, and if you're just tuning in, Bertha is my van. She's a big old rust bucket, heavy as snot. And if you don't think a full tank of gas and a gas pedal, a heavy foot on the gas, is going to do more damage than an M16, I think you're wrong. So I think that the government is just placing band-aids on deep-rooted issues that they just don't know how to solve. So they made that ban. And I don't know. What am I even saying? I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. But, you know, and it's tough. Like, again, this is the only platform that I would say this on, because if you've made it this far, you're on my team. Maybe you're not on my team, but I don't know. I don't like doing it on Facebook. It's not the platform. Instagram doesn't seem like the platform, and TikTok isn't either. And, so yeah, I don't know. I had to get this out of my head because it was stressing me out. I was kind of getting upset. I was getting upset, people. What's going on? I don't think anybody knows what's going on. And I think that's the moral of this podcast is I don't think anybody knows what's going on, and it's causing frustration. You know, it's like, do you wear a mask? Do you not? You hear one scientist say yes. You hear the other one say no. This doctor says people are really dying. This doctor says people aren't dying unless you're old and you already have cancer. And then this guy saying, oh, no matter how you die of coronavirus. You know, I saw Elon Musk. He's like, if you die of a shark, they're going to mark you down for getting killed by coronavirus. You know, and I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's true. I'm just, these are the things that you see online. And these are the things that cause mass confusion, which people get triggered easy, including myself. Like, shit, you know, somebody on TikTok said to cut my hair. I almost cut my damn hair off. I'm just kidding. I don't get triggered that easy. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to keep doing my thing. That's what I told myself. I said I'm going to do this podcast. I'm going to get my thoughts into the airwaves and vent a little bit. And I'm going to continue dancing, and I'm going to continue reading and learning. You know, I made the biggest financial investment I've ever made during this pandemic. And because that's what I read about. I was reading that during rough times or the economy crashes, that's when you invest. So wish me luck. You know, it's a little bit scary. I'm not going to lie. It's actually very scary, but I did it anyway. And I got high hopes, but I needed to take care of myself. And, you know, as much as I care about everyone else and care about these major issues, at the end of the day, I really want myself and my friends and my family to thrive. I want us to do well. I want us to be okay mentally and spiritually and financially. And when I see people getting affected by this stuff, it breaks my heart. When I see black people getting killed for no reason, it breaks my fucking heart. You know, when I see this gun ban happening and real patriotic, loving, caring, awesome people, awesome, amazing Canadians are labeled a criminal now because they have this gun, it breaks my heart, you know, it really does. But what do I know? I'm a guy who lives in a van who teaches people how to fight. So take it with a grain of salt, people. I just hope everybody's okay after this. You know, I went for a walk today, and this lady really made a point to avoid me, and she didn't even make eye contact. She looked a little bit nervous. And I made it a point to smile at her and say, hi, ma'am, how you doing? And she quickly perked her head up and smiled back and said, hi. And I don't want us to lose that human touch, that human decency, that, you know, that ability to open the door for someone, make eye contact, smile and say hi. If we lose that, we've lost what it means to be human. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's it. That's all I'm doing. It's been 20 minutes. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And sorry if I offended you, but I'm also not really that sorry. I'm just, that's what I thought. That's what I said. Enjoy your day, guys. I love you. Bye.